This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning, I'm Renee Montaigne. All this week, we're looking at the effects of rising food costs. And one thing that's helping push up those prices is the use of grain for biofuels. Starting this week in Britain, 2.5% of all fuel for vehicles has to be biofuel. That percentage is supposed to increase in the coming years, and critics initially found this too timid a response to global warming. But the current food shortage has some relieved that policies weren't more aggressive. NPR's Rob Gifford reports.
£4.70, please.
The global food crisis has started to affect Bonnet's Bakery in the tiny town of Chatteris, just north of Cambridge in eastern England. Standing behind the counter serving wholesome wholemeal loaves is Valerie Shea.
The price of wheat's gone up, which affects the price of a loaf of bread. I'd say about 10-15% rise on a loaf of bread.
The trickle of customers into the bakery seem philosophical about the extra 40 or 50 cents on the cost of a loaf of bread, perhaps because, unlike most of the developing world where up to 80% of income can be spent on food, in Britain and much of Europe that figure is more like 10-15%. Europeans grumble a little, tighten their belts, cut down on luxuries and get on with it. But there's one group of Europeans who, for once, are not grumbling at all.
It'll just take a little bit of persuasion to get us started.
...47-year-old George Munns climbs on board his big green tractor on the 500 acres he farms just outside Chatteris. For decades, it's been tough for British farmers, as rock-bottom crop prices meant huge financial difficulties. But suddenly, in the last couple of years, with the rise in demand in China and India and poor harvests in places like Australia, all that has changed.
Wheat prices 3 years ago were around £60 a tonne. Now the spot price for wheat is around about 170.
That tripling of the price Munns gets for his wheat has revitalised his farm as a business. And it's meant that while a few years ago he and neighbouring farmers were looking at the possibility of growing crops for biofuels, now he's just not interested.
We won't do anything particularly to make biofuel here now, just because of it's just not worth it.
Britain has turned much less land over to biofuels than other European countries such as Germany, but still only 2% of European agricultural land is used to grow such crops, compared to between 20 and 30% in the United States. So, spokesman on agriculture at the European Union in Brussels, Michael Mann, believes the EU is part of the solution to the world food shortage, not part of the problem.
We are seeing huge areas of land in countries that have recently joined the European Union coming into production that previously were left unplanted. We are also trying very hard to move to the second generation of biofuels, which don't use agricultural raw materials but use byproducts and waste products. And also we will import a certain amount of our needs. So we don't see that European Union biofuel policy will have a major effect on food prices or food availability.
John Alliston, Dean of the School of Agriculture at Britain's Royal Agricultural College, agrees. He says, of course, the world does need to find a replacement for burning fossil fuels. But in the current dilemma, he says, Europe should stick to its strengths.
In mainland Europe, we are good at producing food because of the climate we have and because of the rainfall we get. And so that's what I think we should be doing. And maybe other parts of the world that produce sugar perhaps might want to produce the energy.
The grim contradiction at the heart of this debate is that at present, at least, it seems impossible to move to greener ways of powering machines and simultaneously feed the world. Solving that contradiction is at the heart of what those in Europe and elsewhere are now trying to do. Rob Gifford, NPR News, Cambridgeshire, England.